Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Careful making wishes in the dark, dark. Can't be sure when it hit that mark. And besides, in the meantime, I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart.
That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up in one.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh for Los Angeles Angels and 66ers Baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
Hey, what is up? It is your boy, Johnny Mags, joined as always with...
Deion Garcia.
We're back for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. We're doing this whole two days a week podcasting, yeah. So we're digging it.
Nice little weekend review.
Right.
Not a great weekend.
Not nice, but...
but, yeah.
We didn't plan that. What can we say? You guys obviously listen to the podcast, know what the hell's happening with the Angels right now. Especially today's game, pretty frustrating, but we'll get into the recap of today's game here. But we recorded on Wednesday, and there was a game happening as we were recording, so we'll start the review on Wednesday, which was the 29th of July. They were playing the Mariners, and in this game, Andrew Heaney took the hill. I don't think he did too bad, 5 innings. Kind of would have liked him to go a little further, but 5 innings. 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Angels had a 4-1 lead at one point, and
right.
It went away.
And again, too, I think that the thing that frustrates people right now is Andrew Heaney. You could very easily have gone more. He only threw 64 pitches. And if you remember back to opening day, he was scheduled to throw 70, but he only got to like 68 or anything like that. So in a way, it's kind of like he's progressing backwards.
Right.
And the frustrating part is that Joe doesn't seem to be wanting to let these guys work through trouble. Like, he felt, mm-hmm. and this is where I kind of think he's, I don't know if he's just, not I'm saying making stuff up, but
trying to figure out what he's got.
Right. Like, well, the press conference, I think that was one of the questions they asked him, why did he pull him so early? He just said, oh, he looked like he was out of rhythm and his velocity was dipping. But then if you look up his velocity was exactly the same in that inning that it was in, like, in the first and the second. So I don't know if he's gun shy or if he just doesn't know these guys enough, which is fine, but at a certain point, Heaney is not a rookie. Heaney is not a guy coming off of Tommy John. Heaney's not a guy that you necessarily need to baby right away, at least not 64 pitches baby.
No, and I talked about it on the podcast on Wednesday when we recorded, when we were talking about the struggles of the bullpen, which only got worse in these last couple games, but I had mentioned about, I don't want to jump on Joe's back just yet because, I don't know what really he's doing with this pitching staff as far as does he not know fully what he has and he's kind of going as the games are going. But at some point, like you said, dude, like, where do you draw the line? Like, Andrew Heaney, we've seen him in past pitch, into the 100 pitch count.
Yeah, he's definitely capable.
And so it's not necessarily that we wanted him to throw 100 pitches, but... Dude, get to 80, 85 pitches.
See, and that's the thing that, for me as a fan, is frustrating. Is that, okay, the opening day you had a reason because he hadn't pitched in so many days. So if you want to cap him at 70, okay, cool. Like, and I said it before, like, I understand that made perfect sense. But
right.
Now his next start, you figure you'll take the next step. Again, you're not looking for 100 pitches.
No.
But if he can get to, his cap should be somewhere around 85.
Extend
right,
each time
out. Get somewhere around 85 or 90, and then, then I think that's when you say, okay, let me see how he feels. Let me see how the game's kind of shaping out. Then you can kind of make a decision then. But not when he's at 64.
Yeah, that was a quick trigger, I guess. I mean, again, at that time, I go, okay, well, I mean, maybe he's at a pitch count. Maybe there, and then the bullpen blows it. And then that's when you're kind of like, why did he pull him out? That's when you start to question everything,
Right.
The bullpen blew this one. I mean, Heaney... Two earned runs, six. I thought he looked fine. Angels ended up scoring seven runs in this game.
Right.
But
it's against staff the bullpen.
Is an inability to hold this, you know, other teams to. I just, as the week progresses, we'll get more into it. So, yeah, the Angels lose this one. What is it? 10 to 7.
Right.
Ended up giving up 10 runs. Not a good line score for the bullpen. I didn't really look at it, but
I mean, it's not you have, good.
I mean, you figure 2 runs from Heaney, that means 8 runs for the bullpen.
Right. And so you have guys that are coming in that, again, I mean, Jacob Barnes?
Barnes.
I don't know necessarily his history. I know he's not necessarily like a first timer. Like, he's not a rookie. I know that.
He played with Milwaukee last year.
Right.
Like 30-some innings.
You expect him to at least be serviceable, but when he comes out and doesn't get an out and gives up 2 runs off of, get 2 walks off of 1 hit, walks 2 guys, you know, that kind of stuff is frustrating in a situation where you're in a struggle for this division. And to the credit where no one in the division is running away with it, which is cool. Which is what the Angels need.
Gives us a chance.
But they're also not taking advantage of a game like this where, like you said, they're up early. Even if they limited that 6th inning to, say, 2 runs, you feel perfectly comfortable with them maybe giving up only 2 runs and extending the lead later.
Right.
Because, obviously, the Seattle Mariners are who they are. But you can't give up 5 when you have a 3-run lead and just kind of all the momentum you built up, gone.
Right. So moving on to the next game. This game was special, I guess, only because a little boy with the initials BAT was born today on this day.
Yeah, so before the game, this is the day that Trout officially got placed on paternity leave.
What did Madden call it? The daddy list or something like that?
Yeah, pretty much the daddy list. So we got that news that before the game, there was no news about if the baby was born, when the baby was born.
They kept
during.
Pretty hush-hush, didn't they?
They did a really good job. Yeah. The Trout family did. Yeah. Definitely. So this is the first game out of without Trout.
Yeah, and you know, Dylan Bundy off a great start in his opener. I don't think he did very bad. He had that one bad inning when he gave up the 3 runs. Ended up only giving those 3 runs up the whole game. He ended up pitching 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, only 2 walks. He struck out 8 batters. I thought he did a pretty damn good job, but the Angels again just could not. I feel like in this game, and if I remember correctly, there was a situation where the Angels could have scored runs, and it just didn't happen.
Right. And then, two, like you kind of mentioned with Bundy, one bad inning. I mean, you have an inning where you have 2 outs, and then you walk a guy with a man already on. You lead off single, whatever, strike out the next 2 guys, but then you walk Seager, and then the next guy gives you a home run. And how many times have you seen a 2-out walk come back and bite?
All the time.
Whether it's a starting pitcher or a bullpen guy in the butt. But then, like you said, after that, he shut it down. That's all he gave up for that day, and he kind of bounced back. He went 6 innings. So, again, you like seeing him get into that 6th inning. I'm not too sure. You know, he's kind of what we're talking about with Haney. He was at that 90-pitch mark. Right. So, you know, that was kind of – we'll see what happens there. But Pena comes in and does a good job as far as going to inning in a third and only giving up 2 hits with no runs and 1 walk. So, that was a good bridge. But then – you know, I guess a pattern we'll be seeing for the next couple games as we review it. Hensel Robles comes in, only throws a third of an inning, gives up 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 earned runs, gave up 1 home run. Again, a situation where the Angels should have been, you know, pretty comfortably in this game, but giving up that 5 spot in the 9th. Definitely does not help at all.
Yeah, especially since they came back in that bottom of the 9, scored 3 runs.
3, and it kind of made it interesting, exactly.
Made it close, but, dude, that just devastates you as a team when, you know, you're going into an inning either tied or maybe only down 1, and then the bullpen gives up 3, 4 runs, 5 runs. Now you're down 5, 6, 7, 8 runs. You're like, well, there goes much for a rally, you know.
Right.
So just deflating, man. So the Angels lose this one 8-5. Head into the they lose a series. Yeah, so
which
much
I,
for
which I think what was
right.
That was the worst part is that this was a series that you
should have won.
Even if it was a 2-1 kind of series, you definitely thought you should have won this.
You drop one. That's so much for Chris talking smack that Tuesday night, going, "Oh, it's just the Mariners. That's what we're kicking butt." Well, that really came back and bit us in the butt. So it wasn't gonna get any easier. The Angels play the Astros next on Friday. And then, you know, this one, I feel like even though it was 9-6, it was a 9-6 loss, I feel like this one was they Angels scored six runs, but
these Astro games, all three of them took four.
I know.
Ever.
And this one, obviously, this one, the Astros kind of won. To me, they kind of won decisively. I felt like the Angels really never, I don't know, they scored six runs, but I mean, it was the Astros. I didn't have that much faith in the Angels actually winning, you know, this series, which, you know, didn't happen. But, yeah, the six runs on eight hits in this game for the Angels. I guess that's a bright spot.
Right.
Not the bright spot, giving up nine runs.
I think and that's the thing with the Angels this year. You see what the offense can do. And again, these last two games have been without Trout. Well,
right.
The games from now on that we're going to review are without Trout. Right. So you're able to get this kind of production from you know, Goodwin stepping up. Goodwin had a great game. He had three RBIs. I believe he had a home run in this game.
He's been clutch.
He's had really good games. Ohtani had those two games back-to-back with three-run home runs against Seattle.
Right.
So, you know, offensively, you feel even Castro and Stassi on separate occasions have stepped up and produced, where coming into the season, the catching spot was probably the least or people were probably predicting the least productive spot on the team. So,
yeah.
Offensively, I mean, you look good. Yeah. You want to see a little better with runners in scoring position. They're 3-for-18. But at the same time, when you score six runs against the Astros, you're doing something right. And it's just, they're working the counts. I mean, the Astros, I believe, walked 12 guys.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Angels also walked seven. So that hurts. But offensively, I'm encouraged about where they are.
For sure.
Offensively, I think this is going to keep them around until they figure out what the heck's going on with that bullpen.
Well, and one thing you're not mentioning either, too, in this whole set here, we were talking so much about, you know, how great Fletcher was and how great he was doing. Fletcher has not really been doing good in these last couple of games.
He's definitely hit
brakes a bit.
He was on fire for, obviously, the Oakland series, and then the Seattle series wasn't very good to him, but you know, that kind of comes with baseball, though. I mean, guys go streaking, and sometimes it's a big streak, sometimes it's a small streak. But I mean, he was 0 for 5 on the 29th against Seattle, and then he was 0 for 4 on the 30th against Seattle. Kind of broke out a little bit the next day with Houston going 2 for 3. But yeah,
it's not the. It wasn't the Fletcher we had at the beginning of the season. And, you know, case in point, bro, what I'm trying to say is the offense is doing all this without Fletcher in these couple games. Because you look at those games where he went 0 for, the Angels scored 8 and 9 runs
right.
in both of those games. So, you know, that's with Fletcher not getting on base. So there's some signs of like, okay, this team can score runs. We just need to figure out this pitching situation. So they dropped the opener to the Astros 9-6. And then yesterday, as we're recording today on Sunday, this was an interesting game because Canning started this game, and I was kind of curious to see how Canning would come out and kind of rebound from his opening start. And he did well. I think 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Greinke for the Astros was dealing through 5 innings.
Yeah,
perfect.
And then the Angels got to him, and then they kind of opened the floodgates.
Scored
on that
two runs, took him out of the game. And then, again, the Angels had the lead in the 9th inning, and then Hanzo Robles comes in, blows the save. What was your thoughts on to me, I was just like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, it almost – and I think Madden kind of came out after this game and was kind of mentioning that he might have to go closure by committee at this point. And you know, Pena has been doing great. I mean, even in this game, he went 2 innings, only gave up 1 hit, struck out 3. So I don't know, out of the big three that we kind of talked about coming into the season, and the bullpen was so – in my opinion, was so based on those three guys succeeding that if those three succeeded, then you can kind of figure everything out with the rest of the bullpen. But those three guys collectively hasn't really found their mark yet. Whether that's because of the usage or not being put in the right position, or just I don't know. And you have other teams out there, so I don't want to make it sound like it's just the Angels having this problem, but you have a team like the Padres, and they're supposed to have like the second best bullpen in the majors, and they're struggling also. So I don't know necessarily if it has to do with the short time to get ready during summer camp, if it's, you know, relievers' arms are already kind of volatile as it is. So, you know, again, you'd hope they kind of figure this out, but right now it's not looking good. Right now it's not they're not performing the way they're supposed to, and Robles is a perfect example of that. I mean, he has an ERA. I know it's only a handful of games, but, I mean, it's never good when you have, like, an ERA up in, like, in the 20s.
Yeah, just – I have – oh, gosh. It's just – yeah. This one was just really heartbreaking. I was like, man, I wanted Cannon to get that W. But it didn't matter. Angels ended up coming back, holding the Astros in that extra inning. Angels ended up winning this one 5-4 on a walk-off sack fly by
Michael Hermosillo.
And my heart skipped the beat there because Reddick's got a great arm, and that was not a deep fly ball.
Dude, that was a horrible throw.
Yeah, it was way up the line.
I don't know if he just...
Maybe didn't get a good grip on it.
Maybe, but I just...
It was a shallow fly ball, too.
Oh, I was really surprised that they tagged...
Right.
I mean, I guess at that point, you're just trying to win a game, which makes sense, but... it wasn't even close. It wasn't even like, oh my God, there's going to be a play at the plate. No. It was so far. It was up the line and short. Right.
When he went to grab it, I'm like, there's no way he's tagging. Oh, he's tagging. He's meat. And then, yeah, ball came right up the line. Good base running by Theis to score the run. So the Angels take one. Finally, they got a win. And they won that one 5-4, like I said. So heading into today's game, as we're recording, it's Sunday. It's Ohtani Sunday. We kind of were in our group text like, okay, what's the over-under? Is he going to, you know, when is he going to get that first out? Or how many innings do you think he's going to go? And I got it right. I say he's going to go 1 2/3.
I had him at like 2. I think I had him at 3 2/3 right. or whatever.
And he only went 1 2/3. He gave up 2 earned runs. And here's the big thing, 5 walks.
That's continually is his problem with this year is that Well, the first inning, you saw what he can
eight
do.
8 pitches.
9 pitches. 9 pitches and a strikeout.
Was it 9 pitches? I think it was 8.
I thought it was 9 pitches and a strikeout. But either way, I mean, he looked really good. And it's just like, okay, well, then maybe whatever it was, because he threw the splitter.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what
I felt like he threw it a lot today.
Yeah, so you saw it there. And, you know, you're like, okay, cool. That was a quick inning. But you're right. Just the command issues with him. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's... Once he gets in his head and he doesn't, I don't know. It was weird to see how much that script, the flip script on them, where it was like, now he doesn't look like he can hit. He walked in first 3 guys, struck out the next 2, and then walked the next 2 guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like literally like either the ball was never in play when he was in there in the second inning. It was such a weird inning.
Yeah, it was just frustrating to watch his command issues because, like you said, it's like. He shows these glimpses of like, oh, crap, and then, oh, what happened, you know? So the 2 earned runs, it was one of those deals where you just felt like, okay, this is going to get bad. And then I thought the bullpen did a great job of kind of bridging that gap kind of to the end. Because what ended up happening is Albert Pujols hits a grand slam to put the Angels up 4-2. Yeah.
No, you're right. The bullpen did a good job of limiting this at 2.
Yeah, because of the way Ohtani left the game. You were like, oh.
Granted, it was 2 outs, but how many times have we seen a 2 out rally blow up to 5 runs?
And so, you know, 4-2, I think they chipped away. They got one more run. Or they got a home run. Happened.
Houston got a home run in the 7th.
Oh, that's what it was. So it was 4-3, and then heading into the 9th.
Alex Bregman hit a home run.
Right. Ty Buttrey was asked to do, a 4-out save?
Yeah, like they had Middleton come in.
2 innings.
Yeah, they brought him out. Well, he went an inning in the 3rd.
But he came out for that second inning.
Yeah, and again, part of the thing with Joe is that I don't know what – his thought process is behind some of these guys that have gone 1 inning, you know, 90% of their career and probably all 1 inning the last couple years of their career and trying to stretch them out for 2.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm looking at as far as maybe he just doesn't know these guys well enough. But at a certain point, it's like I still believe Buttrey and Middleton can give you a solid inning work and get you through the heart of that any lineup. But then when you start asking him to come out for any, or even 2, I think it was Saturday's game, you know, Buttrey comes in for 2, but then you let him sit. I know technically it's just an inning on the scorecard, but, like, he's sitting in between. He gets the next guy out, start the next inning, but then he kind of starts struggling a little bit. It's like, to me, that's just not normal for them. That's not normal for a reliever that's been doing a certain job a certain way for so long.
Yeah, it was just one of those deals where you're like, oh, man. Like, almost like they were set up to fail, I guess, is what kind of ultimately ended up happening. So, yeah, they blew the save in the top of the 10th. The Astros scored a run, got ahead. And so what ended up happening, obviously, runner on second, rule. A ball is hit by Correa. Deep fly ball to right field. Great play by Tyler Ward, okay? Or Tyler, was that his name? I always call him Tyler Cole for whatever
Taylor
reason.
Ward.
Taylor Ward. God, whatever. He makes a great play in right field. So much so that the runner from second was not going to tag. He makes a play, leaps, catches it, comes down, nonchalantly runs to the wall, looks into his glove, and then realizes, whole crap.
He throws it in,
so the guy ends up tagging from third. Next two guys fly out. Any should have been over. Run scored. I guess no harm, no foul, since the Angels scored to tie it, but it shouldn't have been tied to begin with had that have happened. So the Angels might have won it in the bottom of the 10th. Angels tied in the bottom of the 10th. Then the Astros come back. They score a run in the top of the 11th.
Yeah, it started off. I was listening to this part on the way back from San Diego, and it was Altuve, Bregman, and then whoever the other guy was. He wasn't a big name. And with this, once they got Altuve out, I was walk Bregman. The base is open. You're still able to get a double play.
Yeah.
They pitch to Bregman. Bregman gets a single, and then obviously Springer, who was on second, comes around, scores. And the next two guys get out.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
easily.
And you saw Dusty do this with the Angels, where in the 10th, he walked Pujols.
Right.
To get the bases loaded. Or not loaded, but first base was open. They walked Pujols. And then even in the 11th, again, same thing.
Rendon.
They walked Rendon. Don't let the best player or one of the best players on your team. Like, I understand pitching against Altuve because you kind of had to because Bregman was on deck.
Right.
You put him on, then it's really hard. But when you got Altuve out and now you have one out with a guy on second, walk Bregman. Let someone else beat you. This guy already hit a home run this day.
Right. He's the one that brought you within one run.
Yeah, for whatever reason, he's feeling it. So walk him and just... I just some of the things, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, I can do it better or anything like that. But, you know, for as much hype as a lot of people were putting on Joe coming into this year, it just doesn't seem like he's, you know, producing. I don't know. I don't know how to put it, but it's frustrating to see like, okay, cool. They're going to walk a guy here. They didn't walk a guy. And then that guy ends up getting a single, and for the most part, that's a game-winning run?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, in that bottom of that 11, the Angels loaded up the bases again with, you know, they weren't going to pitch to Rendon. I don't blame them.
Right. I knew that
was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, because after Rendon, you have Hermosillo, and then obviously he walked, but then you have Goodwin and then Walsh. So you take your chances with Hermosillo, he walked, and then you have Goodwin, which was a lefty-on-lefty matchup. Right. So you kind of think to yourself, that's the kind of matchup
we want anyways.
But... yeah, when you walk, you know, Bregman, and then you get to Straw.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
And
then you get him out. It's just, that was just one of those plays where he's like, walk him.
I mean, and even then, you got, you know, you walk Bregman. Was there one out? How many outs?
Yeah, there was one out.
You walk Bregman, you set up a double play. You set up a force at any base, too. So why even bother dealing with Bregman? That's something, you know, I don't know. I thought the Angels fired Brad Ausmus. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's not looking a whole lot different right now.
But anyway, Angels lose this one 6-5. This one was real frustrating just for all these little things that could have happened, should have, could have, would have kind of stuff. And like you said, dude, I hate to be the guy that sits here and questions every... I'm not one to question managerial moves much. But in these couple games, man, I have to really be a little more like, man... what was the thought process behind this?
No, you're right, yeah.
And maybe I'm seeing it more now because I realize how important every game is, you know, especially at the beginning of the season. Because normally at the beginning of the season, I'm not so critical.
Right, you're just trying to figure stuff out, which makes sense. But
God,
you
dude.
Can't do that now. Like you said, you need to figure out who you have, but you need to figure it out now. You can't wait five, 6 games or 5, 6 weeks to figure it out. Like, this is something that... you got to hope, and so far, it has worked out for the Angels as far as no team has really ran away with the division.
No.
As we sit here now, I don't know if there's any games going on, but the Angels are only 2.5 out. You know?
They're lucky.
They're 2.5 out. They're not playing on Monday, so technically they could probably gain a game somewhere if Seattle beats Oakland and Texas beats Houston, which in this season, that's very possible. They gain a game up on the two guys in first place. So I guess that's the good thing is that there's not a big separation. Like, you look at the Central, there's already almost a five-game gap between the first and last.
Wow. I mean,
you look at the East, again, five-game gap between the first and last. So lucky that's only 2.5, and we'll see what kind of what happens going forward.
You're right. So that's it for the recap for this week. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll finish off this podcast, talk about, you know, things that are happening and all that good stuff, right? So we'll catch you guys on the other side of the break. No! Those are the screams I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks here into multiple peaks. Yeah, cream of the crop. Man, start taking notes because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. Oh, yeah. Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce painful nicks and tugs. Yeah, those nicks and tugs are gone. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Oh, yeah. Technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. Yeah, nice and smooth. Yeah, that's right. And Manscaped engineering team obsessed over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They spent 18 months, 18 months perfecting that great ball hair trimmer ever created. The just released new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, the cream of the crop, too sweet to be sour, When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last you 90 minutes and you can take longer shave. And that water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, yeah, in the shower after that long match. One of the coolest features is an LED light that illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. So many people have written in stories about the Lawnmower 3.0 and have sent your man here, sent them pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. And I'll tell you something, man, they ain't kidding. It's the cream of the crop. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you use Armchair at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off when you use Armchair at Manscaped.com. Oh, yeah.
There's no shortage of action going on with our partner over at BetOnline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NBA, NFL, UFC live every day for our devoted gamblers, and check it out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. That's BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
Hood Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And we are back. So thank you to our sponsors again for doing what they do to make this show possible, and the Armchair Media Network. Thank you guys for everything you guys do. So news that came out of today's game. Shohei Ohtani
went for an MRI,
said he had some discomfort. It was funny to hear, not funny, but interesting to hear your take. I was kind of jokingly saying that Ohtani was, he's just faking it. He's making up excuses, but I was just kidding. But anyway, Dan had mentioned, hey, maybe he felt some discomfort in that first game, didn't say nothing.
Right.
It's a possibility.
You know, again, it's coming back from Tommy John surgery. I'm sure he doesn't know what to expect. I'm sure he doesn't know maybe the discomfort you might have coming back and working on a full, pitching a full game. maybe that is, maybe it's just something that he has to work through.
Right.
He's still a young kid, so you're just kind of wondering if it's just a mental thing that, you know, I feel something weird in my elbow, and it could be absolutely nothing. But again, as we record this Sunday night, it's probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours after the game finished. They have confirmed that they went for an MRI, but the Angels have yet to say what the results are, and I don't think they're going to get the results back until Monday.
Right. So I'm not overly concerned, but it concerning enough. I'm not concerned on the him missing pitching or the pitching aspect because of what I've seen these last two games. I'm not really holding my breath on him being any ace of the staff type guy. But I am concerned, like you mentioned off the air, that maybe if this affects him coming back to the lineup period offensively, that concerns me a bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Because he seemed to be really right. Catching his stride offensively. Right. Again, like I said, he had 2 3-run home runs in back-to-back games against Seattle. So, you know, you hope if it is something minor, then okay, maybe they don't pitch him for the next couple weeks, but they still use him as a DH, which obviously helps that lineup, and maybe you bring up another pitcher from the alternative site.
Right.
You know, like a Sandoval. I mean, Julio Teheran hopefully will make a debut, you know, this coming week. But yeah, so, you know, we're going to be back Wednesday, and hopefully by then we'll know more about what the MRI says and what the Angels' plan is going to be moving forward with him.
Especially, you know, Ohtani, you need him in that lineup, especially if the Angels' pitching staff is going to continue to blow leads. You're going to need to outscore teams.
A lot of guys, yep.
So you need that bat in the lineup. So it concerns me to the point where if he's shut down completely, then we're not going to have him offensively, then I'm a bit concerned.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. We're going to be back Wednesday, and hopefully by then we'll know, again, the results and kind of if there needs to be a plan set in place for him with the Angels. Maybe the Angels will say it by then, and then we'll have a better idea how how this will affect the team going forward and kind of going forward. Obviously, the Angels are off Monday, are in Seattle Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
So when we talk on Wednesday, we'll have just one game to talk about, because I'm pretty sure we'll probably record it before the game Wednesday.
Right.
But, you know, this is going to be another series where the Angels are going to have to try to, again, take 2 out of 3, if not sweep, if they really want to stay in this division race.
Yeah, they're going to have to beat teams like Seattle and Texas to kind of pull themselves away from, you know, the bottom of the division. You know, they're going to have to win these games, and, you know, because Oakland's going to be tough, and obviously the Astros are tough. All things considering, we played the Astros well, you know.
Yeah, could have very easily have gone taken 2 out of 3 from the Astros this series, and then that would have flipped the whole standings upside down. You're probably looking at being like the second place team if that happened.
Yeah, so got to take advantage of these games against teams that I don't know if they're worse than us, but they're almost at your caliber, and you've got to pull away. You have to pull away from these teams.
We're definitely more inconsistent than these guys, that seems. That's the feeling, at least, is that the Angels are more inconsistent right now than they probably have been in a while that I remember. I mean, I know there's always been issues with the bullpen here and there, but it's like when it seems like it's everyone in the bullpen and there's not that one guy that you can really lean on, that's the frustrating part. And the good thing, I guess, for the Angels is that coming up the next week, like we mentioned it, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against Seattle. But then after that, they're going for the weekend out in Texas. Right. So, you know, two teams, 6 games, you think...
Four.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter if they win 2 against Seattle and then, you know, another 2 against Texas, or they win 3 against Seattle and then 1 against Texas. You need some kind of a combination of 4 out of this 6, because then you have the A's again. And then obviously that first series with the Dodgers on August 14th through the 16th.
Yeah. So, and other, I guess, big news is Mike Trout is expected to be in Seattle on Tuesday.
That's what the Angels put out. So good for him. You know, glad that the baby's all healthy and Beckham, Aaron Trout is already on a lot of scouts' radar. You know,
yeah, BAT.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they did that on purpose or it was just a beautiful mistake, but that was pretty funny.
I think it's beautiful. I'm laughing at we're on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, and I'm laughing at a comment. from Max_Johnson25. Do y'all think Marco Hermosillo is getting better in the MLB? I really think he's one of the better backups we have. I'm only laughing, and you know, I'm not trying to knock on Marco Hermosillo. I'm only laughing because I made a comment in our group chat earlier today, in our group text.
He doesn't do anything well. Then he,
I said, yeah, I said, I've never seen him square up a ball. Like, I really haven't. I'm being 100% honest. I've never seen him square up a ball. You know, blah, blah, blah. And he does it. He hits a great shot right up the middle. He's a big part of the field. So, yeah, I think Hermosillo's a decent backup.
I think he's...
Defensively, I think he's pretty good.
I think defensively, you know, coming in for a defense replacement, yeah, and an extra guy on the base. So I think that's going to be his niche. I think he's going to be a fourth outfielder. Yeah. I think he'll be a really good fourth outfielder and then a spot start here and there. I think that's kind of where his plateau is.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes, especially with this second inning or the extra inning stuff, I like having someone with speed on the bench.
Right.
So if, let's just say, for example, say Pujols got the last out.
Right.
You can pitch run for him at second base. And now you have a guy that will score on a base hit where Albert might get halfway to third.
Right. Exactly. So I'm only laughing because I had mentioned that.
Is this a coincidence?
Yeah, just big time coincidence. And, you know, just a couple other questions on here. Batting up then lower in the lineup because he strikes out a lot.
That's kind of who he's been, though, for the last couple of years. Yeah. I mean, he isn't the Upton of, you know, 3-4 years ago, which I understand. It's frustrating, but at the same time, I don't think offensively Angels are fine. So I would not try to mess with it too much. I would not try to.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has a couple home runs. Obviously, with him, it's kind of like all or nothing right now. So
right.
But.
You can't just point the finger at him either, because I think the Angels' problems is scoring with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
He's not the only guy not doing anything with runners in scoring position. You got to point the finger at a lot of people as well.
When we kind of mentioned, I don't know if we talked about it on the pod or off pod, but today's game, Sunday's game, how Angels had the bases loaded, no outs or one out in the bottom of the 10th, and you had it was Astacio that came up and swung first pitch
after the guy before him walked. On, I think, four pitches, or no, maybe five pitches. Like, the pitcher really, I think the last three pitches were balls that were way out of the zone, and then this guy comes up and swings at the first pitch and pops it up. Like, you just can't do that. And I understand the frustration with Upton. Like, you know, I feel like, but it's nothing we don't know. He's either a home run or he's in a strikeout or pop-up.
He's that guy. He is.
Yeah.
So I can understand, and they kind of have moved him down, like, what is he, like fifth now?
Fifth or sixth sometimes.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I think he fits there because, he strikes out a lot, but I still think he has that respect from pitchers where...
No, yeah, no doubt.
He can put one out real quick, so they're more likely to, you know, give the guy in front of him a good pitch. Like, yeah, you're not going to bat him clean up anymore. I think that's... Unless, you know, you have an X amount of guys out because of day off or injury.
Yeah.
You know, that fifth, sixth spot, probably more so the sixth spot, I think that's fine. I think that's where he should play.
And when you have Ohtani and Pujols in that lineup, then Upton does get brought down lower in that lineup.
Trout and Rendon. I think if it's a super healthy lineup and everyone's there, then obviously, you're going Trout's 2, Rendon 3, Ohtani 4.
Maybe Albert or even Upton 5. Upton 5, right there.
You can kind of rotate those guys. Yeah. Or maybe if it's like Goodwin's on a hot streak like he has been, maybe you put Upton behind Ohtani and bat him 5th and then Upton 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And then go Albert 7th.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's probably ideal. But, yeah, I just think, you know, I mean, I don't see like Renhefel being bad. Like, I don't know why Renhefel's been second overall the last couple.
I didn't understand that. I would have loved Goodwin batting in that second hole, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been doing such a good job. But I also like Goodwin lower in the lineup because it adds that. It gives him that. It kind of gives Goodwin a kind of relaxed state of mind when he goes up to the plate batting eighth or ninth, not being so high up in the lineup too. So, but he's produced pretty much everywhere they've put him. So, man, that whole lineup, I think the lineup's okay. Their one thing is just knowing how to hit with runners in scoring position, make quality outs.
But like the same thing, like I said before, I mean, you're looking at their last handful of games, you know, you going back to like our last podcast, they scored 10, they score 7, they score 5, they score 6. You know, a lot of these numbers, you would think, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you said, hey, these are the runs they're going to score. They're going to score 5. They're going to score 5 again. You would think, okay, they're going to win quite a bit of these games. So I'm not one to, oh, we got to blow it up, the whole lineup, and move guys around, because the lineup is working.
You're right.
It's just those pitchers need to perform a lot better, and that starts with, I think, the kind of, when we mentioned the big three, like Robles is probably out, so now you're looking at probably Middleton, Buttrey, or even Pena in that closing spot coming forward.
I wouldn't mind Pena, dude. I wouldn't mind Pena.
And if you're looking, for a guy to go multiple innings and have like a six out save, go with Pena. Why would you go with Buttrey?
Right.
He doesn't do that.
No.
If you want a guy to go for a six out save, know your guys. I mean, yeah. We've been watching the game, you know, from home for the last 5 years, 6 years together, and we feel like we know these guys better than Joe, and he's actually in the dugout with them.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but you know, something, they're going to have to figure it out, and they're going to have to figure it out soon. So, yeah, as far as the lineup is concerned, it's only going to get better too.
Yeah,
that's a weird thing.
I'm not too worried. Yeah, and this whole series was out Trout, so I'm not worried about the offense and moving guys around, bringing guys up, bringing guys down. Like, I'm not worried about that at all. It's when you start putting zeros and ones and twos and stuff like that on the board, then I'm like, okay, maybe something needs to happen. But
one point I really want to make too is I think the whole reasoning, or the whole what's the word I'm looking for? The whole knock on the Angels not scoring runs, or why it's magnified that the Angels aren't scoring runs,
where
the runners
are
scoring position, is because the bullpen keeps giving up all these runs. If they're not giving up all these runs,
who cares
if they don't do something with the runners on first and third?
It's when they lose, that's the first thing they look for, guys left in scoring position. But it seems like if they lose, you should see how much the bullpen gives up first.
Yeah.
Because, again,
did we have a lead? Oh, we did have a lead.
Oh, my God. Leaving runners in scoring position is a very, I understand you want to hit with guys running position, but it's very kind of, you got guys there. I mean, that's half the battle. Getting guys on base, they're doing a great job of it. And it's like, if you score seven and still lose, and you look at a guy's left on base and it's like 8 or 9 or 10,
that's
going to be the first thing that pops in their mind. That's too many guys on base. I'm like, yeah, but they also made a lot of guys circle the bases.
They also scored 10 runs in that one game against Seattle that they lost. They also scored 6 runs in that game that they gave up 9 runs to, Houston. There's just no way like that should be happening. So
if this was the bullpen that started last season, they probably would have lost like 2 games by now. Because that bullpen was lights out at the beginning of last year. If we had that bullpen right now, and the crappy part is that it's a lot of the same names.
But we had
this offensive production. The Angels, you're looking at the Angels probably losing like 2 games.
Right.
And that's the crappy part, is that because the offense is coming around, the offense is there, but it's just for whatever reason. Again, I don't know if it's just guys in the short warm-ups, you know, spring camp or summer camp, or just not being put in situations they're comfortable with. It's just hard to know.
Yeah, really hard. But yeah, I mean, that's going to wrap it up for this podcast. I know that typically the Sunday podcast is going to be a quick review heading into Wednesday's show, where we'll have the curator, hopefully.
we have our
segments and email questions and stuff like that. So look for us. I think we'll be on Facebook Live Wednesday.
Facebook Live, we're going to try to keep it Facebook Live on Wednesdays, and then try to do like Instagram Live on Sundays to kind of spread it out a little bit. But either way, you can definitely reach out to us on All Angels Podcast @gmail.com for emails. We'll answer emails again on Wednesday.
Yeah, I quickly want to answer a question, Riho. Somebody wrote in, I think it was Wick J said, the bullpen is crap because our starting pitching is so bad. Ohtani, 2 starts, 1 2/3. Well,
that's
you
one
can't,
guy.
That's just one guy,
that's
because
one guy.
You look at the games where
Andrew's done really good. Bundy's doing really good.
The Bundy game, Bundy went 6 innings and he had a lead of 4-1.
Griffin Canning, good. Haney, I don't know why, he does really good, but for whatever reason, he's not being extended, which he should be, because that'd be a whole different issue. So besides Ohtani, yes, Andrees was a surprise to me, because he came in for Ohtani out on that first Sunday.
Yeah, he did great.
And then this time he got lit up. So.
Yeah.
Andrees, we're going to have to see which one that is.
Yeah, which one are we getting?
But other than like those 3 starts, all the other starts have been really good.
Yeah,
so
they're really good.
I don't blame the starters at all.
Not me either.
Yeah.
Last year, yeah. This year, not so much. Yeah. Bundy going 6 innings the other night, I was just like, oh, crap. We got somebody that wins 6 innings.
Yeah.
Same thing with Canning. And again, they blew it. So they blew it again. So I can't blame the starting pitcher.
I definitely, like, on a worry scale, like, I am – and 10 being the most. Like, I'm at a 7 with the bullpen, but I'm probably around a 4 with the starting pitching, just because, you know, when given the opportunity,
right,
with like, I think when I say something like that, I think it was more with Andrew Heaney. When given the opportunity, he's done really, really well. Now we're just waiting for him to just, for Joe to let him. Yeah, he's going to give up a double. He's a starting pitcher. Like, you're not going to go through a whole game without giving up a double in a weird situation. Let him work through it. And if he can work through it, then great. If not, then you pull him like you've been doing. But you won't know until you actually just let him go out there and work through some stuff.
Exactly. So, learning period, I guess. We'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll be back Wednesday with the regular edition of the All Angels podcast. We'll review the game, I guess, just Tuesday's game.
It's Tuesday game. So we need emails.
Yeah.
Let us know. I want you to see what you guys think about the bullpen situation, starting situation, and all that stuff. So again, allangelspodcast@gmail.com for our Wednesday podcast.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us here tonight. I am Johnny Maggs.
I am Dallin Garcia.
And you listen to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.